Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, and welcome to the WrestleMania 34 full preview and prediction show. This is the WWE podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2017, just a few days away from WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. Those of you attending, I wish you a very, very fun time. Safe travels and enjoy the warm weather. And those of you that are going to be watching as I am myself on pay-per-view, I hope you enjoy it as well. It's going to be a great time, guys. And I put this out last week about this could possibly be one of the better, or if not the best, WrestleMania since the Attitude Era. It certainly has the potential, and I made the case last week about it. So if you're interested in that, you can go listen. But guys, if you haven't joined me before, thank you for joining me. I am on Spreaker. Obviously, if you're listening to me on Spreaker, I don't need to tell you that. But I'm also on Apple Podcasts under the WWE Podcast. So please give me a rate if you feel like I deserve 5 stars. Please go ahead and do so. I'd also appreciate a comment if you have any comments, and subscribe. Big on helping out the show. It takes just a few seconds, and I do mean it. It does help out the show, and I appreciate all of you who have done so already. You can follow me on Twitter, too, at the WWE Podcast. Those of you that are into the tweeting world, please reach out to me there at the WWE Podcast. I'd love to be able to talk to you throughout WrestleMania week here as we are closing in on WrestleMania. It's unbelievable that it's already been a year since WrestleMania 33. I feel like we just watched The Undertaker and Roman Reigns. I feel like we just watched Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, or Seth Rollins and Triple H, as I can't believe I can remember that. Triple H and Seth Rollins from WrestleMania 33, Shane McMahon and AJ Styles and so forth. And it's amazing how fast things go. So it's WrestleMania time, guys, and I'm going to be going through the card here and giving you my predictions. And I'm going to start with the WWE Universal Championship match. I'm going to start right at the top, not make you guys wait, and give you my thoughts on Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Now, we have been seeing time after time after time, week after week, Brock playing the heel, Brock getting the upper hand. There's been no talk of Brock renewing his contract with WWE. It's very, very, very possible that he is on his way out of WWE. And the easy prediction here is Brock loses to Roman Reigns. The problem with that is it's too predictable. I feel it's WrestleMania. It feels too predictable for WWE to do that. If you put a gun to my head, I'm still going to go with Roman Reigns being crowned the Universal Champion at WrestleMania, and we all get what we thought we were going to get a year ago, and Roman Reigns walks out with the belt on his shoulder. There's also the possibility that Brock retains. And if Brock has a contract that runs through maybe the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, maybe he drops it at that point to Roman Reigns. But I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. I think ultimately WWE is not going to get cute with this and just have Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar outright. And the crowd firmly believe that the crowd is going to boo Roman Reigns to the ground. I really firmly believe that. They can get all of the samples that they want, all of the focus group tests that they won over the past couple weeks with the mixed to positive reactions. But when it comes down to WrestleMania, I really believe that WWE is going to get the reaction they have always been getting for the Roman Reigns babyface character, and that is a very heavy chorus of boos. So look for that. It's also possible that the crowd turns on this match completely. Completely turns on this match, and you get a Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, WrestleMania 20 reboot where the crowd completely rejects the match outright. That is a possibility as well. This match is just fascinating for so many perspectives. Obviously, the in-ring action is going to be, I think, stellar. I don't have any concerns about the in-ring match quality. I think that Roman Reigns and Brock have a natural chemistry that was evident 3 years ago when they faced each other for the first time at WrestleMania 31. And I think this time will be no different. I really believe that. So in-ring, I'm looking forward to it. Crowd reaction, I'm looking forward to it. And the aftermath, I'm looking forward to it. So while you may be a Roman Reigns hater or booer or whatever it may be, as, you know, hey, put me in that group. I will absolutely admit it, that I am not a Roman Reigns babyface supporter. Does that mean I hate Roman Reigns? No. It means I just think he's miscast, and that's really what I believe. I think he's an amazing star when it comes to athleticism and an in-ring presence. There's no doubt about it. It's just the fact that he is miscast in a babyface role. Now, moving on here. Officially, I say Brock Lesnar drops the belt to Roman Reigns. Undertaker and John Cena. Does this match happen? Does it happen? Is WWE going to give us that match? And unbelievably, I would say I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do this. Do they have Kid Rock, who is part of the WWE Hall of Fame legend wing, come out and play his song, and The Undertaker comes out on a motorcycle? Is it The Undertaker of old comes out and finally calls out John Cena and they have the match? Or is it Mark Calloway coming out as Mark Calloway? I don't know. Again, if I'm a betting man, I would still say that come hook or crook, somehow, some way, this match with John Cena is going to happen. I don't know how they get there. That's the most interesting part. They certainly have my attention. I'm not complaining. It's a very interesting and a much different change of pace from the typical WWE formula of having the dead man appear at least on screen before WrestleMania, some kind of sign, signal, lightning, as John Cena was alluding to, something. They didn't give us anything. Very unlike WWE, but I'm not complaining. Everybody says, it's all the same stuff. Well, guess what? We got a different format here, so I'm very curious to see how the interaction with John Cena and Undertaker goes. Maybe they just make a match for next year. Hey, who knows? Maybe the Undertaker says, you know what? This is my final match at WrestleMania 35. Who knows? I mean, that would piss off the crowd, but it's a possibility. There's so much on the table, and that's what I like about it. But if they do indeed somehow get to that match at WrestleMania 34 this Sunday, I see the Undertaker going over. And then I see the Undertaker hanging it up completely. I really do. And I'll stick with that and go with the infamous Undertaker is retiring this year and against John Cena. So I will leave it at that. And if they do in fact meet at WrestleMania this Sunday, I do not expect a 10-star or a 5-star match. Excuse me. I expect a clinic in terms of in-ring psychology, but from an athleticism standpoint, I think it's going to be very limited, especially in what Undertaker can do at this point. I expect high-impact moves, a slow pace, and time for us to absorb the match. All things that are not necessarily bad, but I think things that are... It's a style of match that is definitely one that you don't see too often in today's framework of WWE. It's an old school type of mentality, but I think it's going to fit in terms of the pacing of this match with the Undertaker's ability at this point, and John Cena's for that matter. So Undertaker goes over if the match happens. Moving along to AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, I'm knocking down all the big matches right off the bat, guys. AJ Styles and Shinsuke, I am going with Shinsuke Nakamura beating AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. I really think that that's the route they're going. Now, does AJ Styles turn heel after this match? Very possible. Very possible that AJ turns heel here. And maybe they don't. Maybe it's an outright handshake and they move on. but maybe they don't, and maybe AJ Styles turns heel on Shinsuke, and we get the nasty AJ Styles back, and so that's a possibility. I have very high expectations for this match, as do many people. Almost an unfair height at which this match is regarded in terms of potential and expectation. I think almost an unfair level for these two performers. While extremely high caliber, world-class athletes inside the ring, even for that caliber of a talent, I think the expectations are almost too high for this match. I expect a 4-star match out of 5, and I will be enjoying every second. The key for this match is length. They need 20 minutes to do their thing on the biggest stage, and they need it at WrestleMania this Sunday. I hope that their time doesn't get cut short. I would think a 20-minute match, 15 minutes minimum. I hope they don't do 15. To me, 20 would be the sweet spot for these two, and they put on an absolute classic. It is possible this match could be regarded as the match of the year. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but it does have the potential. So I think Shinsuke beats AJ with the potential of an AJ heel turn. Then we have Charlotte versus Asuka. I say Asuka beats Charlotte and her streak continues. I think this could also be a very good match. And I think will be. I think and should be. This is a match, while I'm not in love with Asuka's character of screaming every promo and having weird inflections and facial expressions and tone of her voice, it's just really bizarre the way that they have portrayed Asuka in terms of a promo style and in-ring presentation, verbal skills. I don't know if it is the struggle of her being able to speak English and that she doesn't know how to emote correctly, but it's awkward. So I'm not a big fan of how WWE has presented her on the main roster, but it has this from in-ring. In-ring is what I'm looking most forward to. A nail biter in submissions where Charlotte has Asuka in the figure eight for a extended period, and Asuka has to decide whether she's going to tap or whether she is going to pass out or try to grab the bottom rope. It's going to be a nail biter, and I really have high expectations for this match as well. I would give these women 15 minutes. I think that is the sweet spot for this match based on both women's in-ring skills and styles. I'm really looking forward to it. Athleticism of Charlotte, the impact and quick striking ability of Asuka. There's a good mix here, and I'm looking forward to it, I think, more than any women's spot on the entire card. So I think Asuka goes over. Charlotte loses to Asuka. The streak continues. At least that is what my prediction is. Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss drops the belt to Nia, and that is my prediction there. I don't expect a really good match here. I think Asuka and Charlotte has much more of a bar, a higher bar on it than Asuka or than Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. I expect some good chemistry here. The story here, I think, is better than Charlotte and Asuka. They had a personal relationship. I'm not in love with Nia Jax being the latest in the women's movement of making all the sponsors happy, and look at what a great company we are with the women's movement, and following in lockstep with what society feels women should and should portray in terms of confidence and everything else. And look, this may offend some people, but it needs to be said. Okay, Nia Jax is, I think, she's unique in terms of personality and in terms of look. I think her look sets her apart from everybody, and that's an asset. It is an asset to her. Props to Nia Jax for being able to succeed as much as she has for as little time as she's been in WWE. What I don't like is, I said, WWE using Nia Jax as a conduit for their message of love who you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. Just love who you are, and this is the way I was born. When Nia Jax said that my mama gave me this, I was born like this, I don't think you were born with a bag of Lay's potato chips in your mouth, okay? That may piss some people off, but Nia Jax, I mean, let's be honest, she's overweight. I have nothing against overweight women. What I have a problem with is this message that it's okay to be overweight. Okay, that it's not healthy. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact that it is unhealthy, and you have more health problems if you are overweight. So with Nia Jax being overweight, and she is, that's a fact. A fact, for those of you who are like, this guy's an asshole talking about, you know, body image on women, and who is he? Guess what, folks? Nia Jax may have been born from her mama, but her mama didn't give her all that, those carbs to eat. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. She chose to look like that. You weren't born like that, okay? You may have a thicker frame, but you aren't born with that thick of a frame and use your genetics as an excuse. Now, obviously people who have medical issues and you're overweight, I'm not trying to be an asshole. As I said, what I'm trying to do is make WWE, expose WWE for the charitable, just soft image that they have become. And I'll leave it at that. And most of you are probably, not happy with me at this point, but that's exactly how I feel. I'm not apologizing for it. I have no problem, and I'm not about body shaming. I'm about not making WWE using their characters and their to make sure that they have all the sponsors happy and that everyone's so damn sensitive today that the truth can't be told. Yes, you should be proud of who you are. Yes, you should be comfortable in your own skin, but that doesn't mean you have to stay in your own skin and make excuses of why you can't improve yourself by saying that you were just born this way. That's total bullshit. Okay, off track. I expect that to be a good match, not great, with Nia Jax going over the women's championship. Honestly, the women's battle royal, I don't care. I'd say Natalia. Men's Battle Royal, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which has proven to do absolutely nothing for anyone that wins that match. I'm going to pick a two-time winner of Baron Corbin, and he goes absolutely nowhere again other than maybe squandering another briefcase opportunity. Honestly, I'm sorry. Does anybody really care who wins those matches? No, they don't. So let's move along to the rest of the card. New Day in a triple threat with the Bludgeon Brothers and the Usos. I say that I'm going to say that the Bludgeon Brothers become WWE Tag Team Champions. It's time for some new blood, no pun intended, to hold those belts. And the Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan, have really repackaged themselves nicely. I think this could be a very, very good match, obviously, with the chemistry between Usos and New Day well-documented, and you throw in a much slower-paced but different style in Harper and Rowan, this could be a very, very good match, too. I mean, again, from top to bottom, this card, from an in-ring athleticism standpoint, has a very high bar. That is why I'm saying this could be the best WrestleMania since the Attitude Era. So I expect Harper and Rowan to grab the belts and walk out of WrestleMania with as new WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions. On to Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This one, while I don't think is going to be a five-star match, yes, the return of Daniel Bryan. Yes, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are very skilled in-ring performers, but Shane McMahon is not exactly any of those guys, even in the same breath in terms of skill, in-ring skill. He can bump great. He'll throw his body around like he doesn't care about it and he can just replace it the next day. But I think that ultimately with the story, what this match is going to be is a Shane McMahon heel turn. I think Shane McMahon is going to turn on Daniel Bryan and cost him the match. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be rehired. That is my prediction, is a Sami Zayn or a Shane McMahon heel turn on Daniel Bryan. People have predicted Daniel Bryan turning heel. I hope WWE is not that stupid to do. Pouring cold water on a Daniel Bryan return would be foolish, especially from a monetary perspective. People do not want to boo Daniel Bryan. Please, WWE, don't do it. It just doesn't make sense to me. We also have the Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. I don't know. I would say Cedric Alexander. And you know why? Because C comes before M in the alphabet. I'm sorry. I have not been following the cruiserweight division that much. So that's what I'm going with. Cedric, because it starts with a C. How about that? Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. I'm going to go with the Miz retaining. Unbelievably, I'm going to go with the Miz retaining at WrestleMania. This one also has a potentially very good. I think Seth and Finn could go off on a personal rivalry, a personal program, and have the Miz maybe get put in there with another superstar. So I'm going to go off the rails here and say the Miz retains. Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal versus Rusev. I think it is time for Rusev Day. Orton doesn't need the belt, and he's, I'm sorry, a bland personality at this point. Other than the RKO, Randy Orton, it just seems like he just doesn't care. I love his he's a great in-ring performer, accomplished. He has been a mainstay in WWE, all of that. But he just is bland. He's bland as sand. And I don't know why I said that because it rhymed. But I think it's time for Rusev Day. And if WWE is smart, they're going to capitalize on the Rusev Day and move forward with Rusev. I think that is a smart booking choice, at least in my estimation. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun Strowman and whoever. I would just say whoever that is, Braun Strowman doesn't belong as a tag team champion. I think Cesaro and Sheamus retain, and I don't know who Braun's tag team partner is. I really don't. And unfortunately, Braun is almost a forgotten entity on the WrestleMania card, and it's unbelievable compared to, you know, where he was just a few months ago at No Mercy, even facing Brock Lesnar. And so it's sad, but I don't see Braun Strowman winning, nor do I want him to be in the tag team division. Now, last match here, Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie. The only decision here, the only decision, is Ronda Rousey making Stephanie McMahon tap. That is the only way WWE can go. I said that when Sting faced Triple H, that Sting should win, and look what WWE did. And I still don't believe that that was the right choice, and it's still head-scratching 3 years later. But Kurt Angle and Triple H, while that's a extremely storied rivalry, has almost taken a back seat. And they emasculated Kurt Angle on a weekly basis with superstars talking down to him. His on-screen bosses was Stephanie and Triple H talking down to him. Triple H calling him unintelligent. Stephanie saying, you know, I'm your superior. And just basically neutering him, for lack of a better term, on a weekly basis. And it's a shame that not only is that happening, but the Kurt Angle versus Triple H storyline that they could have really, really milked from, you know, the Attitude Era, they have barely touched. And it's unfortunate. And yes, the money is with Ronda and Stephanie, where it all started at WrestleMania 31 with The Rock. Get it. I understand. And I agree. But there's other money to be had, and there's more fuel to the fire that they could be adding, and they're not. But I expect Ronda, who is half baked coming into WWE. I mean, let's be honest, she's a star, but she is not a seasoned veteran. I don't care how good of an MMA fighter you are, she is not in ring. She's not at the level that she should be. Nor do we expect it. Kurt Angle, who's on his way out, on the other half, has so many miles on his body that I think it would make a, you know, one of those million mile beamers, right? You guys heard about that, the million mile. If you get your BMW to a million miles, they'll give you a free one. I don't know. Maybe that's not a real thing, but I've heard about that. Anyway, Kurt Angle, who has so many miles on his body that he does need a new one, is on his way out in terms of he's way beyond his peak. So you put Ronda, who is half-baked, and Kurt Angle, who is three-quarters of the way out, into the ring, and you have a shared workload. And it's a smart choice by WWE by not singling out either star so that they don't have to carry the workload, because it would almost be embarrassing, or not at the level that they should be, especially on a WrestleMania stage. So smart by WWE. But I ultimately think Ronda's going to make Stephanie tap, and Kurt's going to make Triple H tap maybe after the match is over and the bell is rang, to the ankle lock. Angle slam. Stephanie ends up getting a slap on Kurt Angle, and Ronda ends up getting some kind of hip toss or offensive move at Triple H. But God forbid there's any male-on-female contact, because they're not allowed to touch the female's back, even if they are getting pounded by the female and can't retaliate in any capacity, which, again, is that's total bullshit. That's another rant for another day. For those of you who think I promote domestic violence, I do not. This is a fantasy world, folks. A fantasy world. Has anybody forgot what WWE is? I think Stephanie McMahon has. I think she thinks she's running some kind of local charity with all the things she does. I don't even know if she remembers she's running a wrestling company, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm looking forward to this, guys. I think this is going to be an awesome WrestleMania. Tons of talking points coming out of it. There's no doubt about it. For those of you who have got offended, I don't know what to tell you. I know I said some controversial things. That's just exactly how I feel, and I'm not apologizing for it. It's just coming from my guts, and that's all I got to say about that, to quote Stone Cold Steve Austin, which, by the way, I don't think we'll see. If anybody, maybe The Rock shows up, but I don't know about the megastars. But you know what? This is the first year that I don't think we need them, and the WWE doesn't have to lean on them to appear for ratings and for a successful WrestleMania to be just that. So, guys, thank you for joining me. Everybody enjoy WrestleMania. If you're traveling WrestleMania, be safe. Have a great time. Everybody enjoy it. I'll be on Twitter all throughout WrestleMania, some of you guys your thoughts. Again, please rate and review me. Subscribe. Everybody enjoy WrestleMania 34. Take care. I'll talk to you post-Mania.